Good morning, everyone. Or did you come ready for church today? I know you did. Isn't it amazing? You know, it seemed like when, you know, service first started that it was real kind of calm and everyone kind of, you know, it seemed down a little bit. And then the anointing came in and everyone just got excited and perked up. And, you know, there's just a real special anointing in here, and it's for you. It's not for me. Although I'll be the one ministering the word, the anointing came to help us. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that? You know, I went to church a lot of years and never got any help. And I love when we started to put this up here that says, a place to get answers for your life. And, you know, we have that on our door at the Erie building on the door, on the front doors. And it's just such a wonderful thing because I went to church for years and never got answers for my life. But if you come to this place, you'll get answers. Not because of me, excuse me, not because of me, not because of Pastor Tim, my husband, but because of the Word of God. And so there were many weeks, week after week, I went to church and I heard things, but I left unchanged. And that was because the Word was not taught and glorified. If you teach and glorify the Word, you'll be changed. And you'll have answers. Amen. So every answer or every question in your heart will be answered today by the Holy Ghost. Amen. I got up early this morning to pray just for you, to believe God for you, for His best, for your life in the service today. Amen. And so if I haven't met you yet, my name is Katie Stallman. My husband is the senior pastor here, and we work together as a team. Amen. And so sometimes he asks me to fill in for him in the pulpit, and sometimes he asks me to make him a sandwich. And so, whatever it is, that's what I do. Or you know how Godwin says on Duck Dynasty, a sandwich. S-A-M-C-H, a sandwich. And so, you know, whatever he needs. If he needs me to fill in or if he needs me to make him a lunch or whatever, that's what I do. We work together as a team, amen. And if you're married, just so you know, or if you just got married, it doesn't happen the day you said I do. You know, you can start using your faith and working toward it that day, but working together as a team, at least for me, took some time. And it wasn't because of him, it was because I had to get my own wrong thinking worked out. Amen. But now we joyfully work together as a team. Amen. So go with me here to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I have had in my heart, you know, many times when I'm called on to minister, I don't know ahead of time. I don't have much time to naturally prepare. And so, you know, but let me tell you, things come up for all of us in life that we don't have time naturally to prepare. That's why if you prepare yourself, a message will come automatically. If you prepare yourself, when things come up in your life, the answer will come out automatically. And so when I was called upon to preach, I didn't really necessarily search for a message so much as I just went to my heart and what's big in my heart. And so if you prepare yourself, you'll always be ready, no matter what you're called upon to do, whether it's public or private, whether it's a trial that you're facing or an opportunity to invest, you'll always live ready. Amen. And today, I'm going to teach you how to do that. Because I've had in my spirit for many months now, sort of this phrase and this idea, to live fit, to be fit. And it does include every area of life. You know, to be fit in your finances, to be fit spiritually, to be fit physically, to be fit at our home in terms of order. Because to me, fitness means strength and order and being prepared, being ready. And so it just seemed, it was impressed upon me for months and months now that I needed to do that in a greater measure. And so what will happen is the Lord will first put things in the minister, first put things in your pastor, let that build in them, you know, let them get fortified and strengthened in that, and then minister it to you so we can all do it together. Because if I need it, you need it, seeing that we're all working God's plan together as one family. So to me, when he impresses that upon my spirit, then that means to me there is something ahead that we need to be fit for. that there's going to be an opportunity, that there's going to be doors open unto us, you know, that there's going to be things that we are going to do that will be the will of God, but we have to be fit to do them. You know, you're only as good to God as your body is strong. Did you know that? That's why physical fitness and spiritual fitness go hand in hand. Is Joe here today, Joetopia? Where is he? In the narthex? That's not his last name, by the way. I heard someone, when they were paying for one of his classes, should I make it out to Joetopia? He goes, no, my last name's Gustafson. Make it out to Joe Gustafson. So his real name is Joe Gustafson. His business is Joetopia. And so, you know, Joe's a fitness expert, and he could tell you spiritual things and natural things go together, right? You're only as good for God as your body is strong. And Brother Hagin, toward the end of his life, he said, the thing that I wish I'd done more of was that I had taken better care of my body earlier on in my life. Because you can't run your race strong. You can't be strong unless you're physically strengthened. And I don't mean to be a bodybuilder and you have to have all these cut muscles and that sort of thing, but that we're taking care of our temple, that we're doing something about our body to be fit that way. And, you know, I know there was a time where I had a major attack upon my body and it lasted for a couple years and I was just physically, clinically exhausted and I couldn't leave and I wasn't good to anybody. I couldn't go somewhere to minister to somebody because I myself needed ministering to. My body was worn out. And so we have to have balance in these things. You know, balance in every area of life. You know, the Bible says to be temperate in those things, in all areas of life. And so, Pastor, you were talking about this morning in Sunday school that you don't want to get too far in the ditch one way and you don't want to get too far in the ditch another way, right? For example, you know, if you're looking to become more physically fit, that's good and that's important. But also some people get addicted to it and they start having surgeries to make themselves look better and that they're working out and that they're, you know, at the gym more than they are studying their Bible and getting the word built in them. And so while it's good to be fit physically, that's a ditch, you know, toward too much physical fitness, right? And not many people fall into this, although I fell into this, that you can do some things spiritually in excess. You know, that there was a time where I prayed more than I did anything else. And don't get me wrong, prayer is important. It's good for you. It will strengthen you. But I did it to the point where I neglected some other things, including my own rest. And that's how my body wore out. And so anything done to excess is not good for you. That our goal is to stay right in the middle of the road, right? Have you ever noticed when you're going down the road and there's like a little critter up ahead and you see it and you have a little bit of time, and that if you ever kind of, you know, move your car to one side and then you realize you went too far and you overcompensate and you go too far the other way? So sometimes we can do that. You know, where we're going along in our walk in life and we get off too far one way, and then to compensate, we go back too far the other way. And our goal is to find the middle of the road and stay there, right? Just hold steady. And Tim taught me this. He's very practical, very safety-minded. That just doesn't come naturally to me, you know, him in terms of guarding our home and gun safety and, you know, our alarm at our home and all that stuff. Scott and Anna, you're very much that way. It just doesn't even occur to me ever. And so if he didn't tell me to set the alarm, I wouldn't set it because I just don't think of it. And so he said, if you're driving down the road and there's a little animal in the road, and just hold on to the wheel and hit it, because it's better than if you swerve. You know, because like on a day like today, you could hit slosh, or, you know, maybe someone else comes over the hill and you didn't realize it. So just hold the wheel steady and just hit it. And so our job is to just hold the wheel steady, stay in the middle of the road, no matter what the obstacles are, no matter what comes up in front of you, you hold that wheel steady. Amen. And so I'm going to share some things with you today about being fit. We want to be temperate in these things. And we want to be balanced, that we're not spending so much time on our bodies and physical fitness that we're neglecting, you know, our spiritual life, and that we're not spending so much time on our spiritual life that we're neglecting our husband and prayer and practical things that we have to do. And also, you know, we should have times of rest and we should have times of recreation, but our life shouldn't only be rest and recreation, that there should also be a time where we're disciplined. And I heard this in my spirit, the Holy Ghost say, natural things can be your spiritual undoing. Natural things can be your spiritual undoing. And it's important for us to listen to what the Holy Ghost says concerning our natural things because it affects our spiritual life. So, for instance, let's say the Holy Ghost tells you that you need to stop eating so much sugar. Or maybe for your body style, for whatever reason, the Holy Ghost says, don't eat so many carbs. Or maybe he says, don't eat so much fat. You know, whatever the Holy Ghost says to you, you know in your heart. And he says, don't do that. You know, for a season, you might operate on the grace of God and his mercy, which we do not want to do that. We purpose not to operate that way. We want to operate out of obedience. But let's say you're doing that and for a season nothing happens. But as we get older and time goes on, you know, because we disobeyed the voice of God, there is a price to pay for that. And I have seen some people who disobeyed that, and as they got older, it affected their body, and they were not able to do the things that God had for them and the things that they wanted to do because they didn't take care of the assignment in their physical body that the Holy Ghost told them. And that can be true with rest. If he told you to rest, did you know Sunday was made for you? Yeah. You know, God made a day for us where we can rest. And so, not that we have an extra day to run around and get all our stuff done that we didn't get done through the week, that we have a day of rest. You know what I'm going to do later? I'm going to nap on my couch. I'm going to go home, have some lunch, and nap on my couch. And so, you know, there's a time of rest. If you violate rest, you know, you can pay a price in your body, then you're no good spiritually. So the two are very closely connected. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, and we'll read it first in the King James, and then we'll read it in the Amplified. Aha. I got him. So, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Go to the Amplified and go back to verse 7. But refuse and avoid irreverent legends, profane, impure, and godless fictions, mere god grandmother's tales. But this is the part we want to get to. Train yourself toward godliness, keeping yourself spiritually fit. And go to verse 8, please. For physical training is of some value, and it's useful for a little, but godliness and spiritual training is useful and of value in everything, in every way, and holds the promise for the present life and also for the life to come. And so, you know, he's telling us here that it's important to be physically fit, but it's more important to be spiritually fit. But we should be doing both. And so he said, your spiritual fitness is more important because it carries on into the next life. What you do here on earth, how spiritually fit you are, will carry into the next life, will carry into your life in eternity. And so have you ever tried to lose 5 or 10 pounds? You know, I'm sure at some point, if you're over the age of 25, you know, you've probably tried at some point to lose a few pounds, to shape up, to get down one size, whatever it is, you know. And so if you've done that, then you know some things about spiritual fitness, because everything in the natural has a parallel in the spiritual. And natural things are here to show us and reveal to us the spiritual truths. And so if you've tried to lose 5 or 10 pounds, you know that it's not instant. You don't just wake up, you know, reduce your calories, go run on the treadmill after work, and you come home and you're like, wow, I lost 5 pounds. That was real good. And if you paid any attention, you notice that the older you get, the harder it can be to lose those 5 or 10 pounds. It can be. Doesn't have to be. And so, you know, where you may have to work at it a little bit more. And so you can see that losing even just 5 or 10 pounds can take months or sometimes even a year or so, depending on your body style and how diligent you can give yourself to it. And so losing weight, being fit physically, takes time. And so does spiritual fitness. Spiritual fitness takes time, but start today and start doing something every day. You know, any kind of fitness guru or nutritionist, you know, anyone that's interested in being physically fit and getting you physically fit will tell you that it's important that you do little things all the time. You know, that you drink more water. You know, they'll say, even when you go to the grocery store, just park farther out in the parking lot so you get extra steps in. You know, when you wake up in the morning, do a few push-ups. You know, you have 5 minutes on your lunch and, you know, take a lap around the parking lot. And they'll tell you all those little things will eventually add up to big change. But it's a slow progression. And that same thing is true spiritually, that we need to start today, even something small that we can do, and we can build up. We can gain momentum. Because the more you do it, the more you can do it. Did you ever start, you know, trying to be fit and, you know, be in shape, and you go to the gym and you get home and the next day you feel like junk? Your whole body hurts, you know, and you're discouraged about it. But what do? You wait a day and you go back again and back again. And next thing you know, after a couple weeks, even if you didn't lose weight, you're like, I could do that a little longer. I didn't breathe as hard when I did that, or my body recovered quicker, and all of a sudden you notice strength. Strength has come to you. And that same thing is true spiritually. You just do a little bit each day, even though it puts a hurt on your flesh, and everything within you says you don't want to do it. You don't want to go back to the Word. You don't want to go back to prayer. Make yourself do it. Push yourself to do something you've never done before. Because if you want physical results you've never gotten before, you do something new, right? If you want spiritual results you've never done before, do something new. And you know, it matters what we put in us. What we put in us. You know, any kind of, you know, trainer, physical trainer, you know, you have one of those fitness trackers or any kind of website that talks to you about being in shape and losing weight, you know, they will tell you some things about being consistent, and, you know, they'll tell you some things about it matters what you put in. And so I know even at one of the classes Joe does, he said, you know, if you're coming here and you're working out, but you're not sleeping right and you're not eating right, stop taking this class, get those two things in order, and then come back and start working out. Because it's so important what you put in you. And so just like for physical fitness, if you eat at Burger King drive-thru every day, you're not going to be physically fit. And I know because I did that one time. When I was pregnant for Timothy, it was the only thing I could face eating. And I'd go through the drive-thru and I'd be like, I do not want to be here again. But it was either Burger King drive-thru that I could keep down and not throw up, or just not eat. So there I was again at the Burger King drive-thru. And it was so hard to be fit after having done that all those days. And so, you know, in that kind of situation, it was a little different. Pregnancy changes things, so it was a little different during that time. But listen, I tried that, and it's not too good for you. It don't work out too good. And so what we want to do is we want to put things into us that are good for physical fitness, but spiritual fitness. So part of being spiritual or physically fit would be, you know, to have enough water, to eat lean meats, eat lots of your vegetables and your fruits and all that kind of stuff. But also spiritually, what are we putting in us for physical fitness, right? And so are we allowing words of doubt, unbelief, we're walking out of love, we're always on Instagram, we're always on TV, because what you have in front of your eyes affects your heart. There is actually a scripture, maybe someone can find it for me, it's in the Old Testament. I told it to you one time, Anna. Mine eye affecteth my heart. And so what you see does have the ability to affect your heart. So, you know, we think, well, we're just watching that TV. It goes in you. what you have in front of you, what you put before you, the things that you say goes in you. And so we'll be more guarded in that area for spiritual fitness. Amen. Okay, I want to share some things with you now. Go over with me in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. This will change your life. If you'll be spiritually fit, it'll change everything for you. That you'll have strength and you'll be prepared in ways you never knew that you could. Amen. Because the trials of life and, you know, things happen that come across our path, all of us, surprising things, things we didn't expect, you know, something that tries to come against your body, something that tries to come against your finances, something that tries to come against your marriage. And when you're fit, it's easy to face those things, right? So if you go to the gym and the first day they say, I'd like you to run 2 miles, probably not going to do so good. But if you go in there after you've been working out for a couple months, I could not only run that, I could go further than that because I'm strong now. And see, I'm not afraid of any of those challenges because I can do it now, right? So spiritually, that's true as well. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. Pastor Michael ministers out of this verse a lot, especially to his ministers, but it applies to all of us. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. The next verse, please. And if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Or meet just really means fit for the master's use. And so we see that here, and when he's saying in his house, in God's house, in this local church, in our family, there are some people, go back to verse 20, please. Vessels of gold and silver and wood and earth. And so it's kind of like the four kinds of soil. We have a choice what one we're going to be. Will you be a gold vessel for God? Give your highest and best. Give your all. Be fit in every area. Purpose to walk in love. Purpose to speak the word. Purpose to be a blessing in your marriage. That's what being a vessel of gold looks like. And, you know, different vessels have different kinds of uses. And if you want to be used more, you need to alter what kind of vessel you are. I know one time I went to TJ Maxx. We eat a lot of fruit, and so I had a bunch of fruit, and I needed to have a big dish to put it in. And I went to TJ Maxx and bought this, you know, this big, huge dish, and I brought it home. And I went to wipe it out before I put my fruit in it. And on the back, it said, not fit for food, that you can't put food in it. And so I had to take it back because it's not fit to be used for what I need it for, even though it looked like it was. And that same thing is true with us, that we can look good as a Christian on the outside. We come to church, you know, we're happy, we got our Sunday smile on, and we dressed up, and we look all Christian-like. But on the inside, what could we be used for? You know, could God call upon you to use you? Or do you just look like a Christian? And the way that that's determined is in your heart. What are you willing to do in your private time for God? Are you willing to strengthen your spirit? Are you willing to spend time praying? Are you willing to spend time in the Word and become physically and spiritually fit? If you are, you can be a vessel of gold, someone who God can call upon at any time. I want to be able to be called upon by God at any time. That, oh, there's someone in the church and they're going through a difficulty and he needs someone to pray, and I want him to look across the body and say, I'm going to call on her. Because she's fit, she's ready to do it, she's been preparing herself, and I can trust her. She's ready for use. She has something that she can offer. And so I ended up taking back that bowl because if I can't hold what I need it to hold, I have no use for it. And we want to show God, I am ready to be used. It could be to volunteer in nursery. It could be to pray for someone. It could be to, you know, give someone something financially. There are lots of different ways we can be used by God. And the biggest way you'll be used is in private, not necessarily public. And so if you'll prepare yourself, he'll have more he can use you in. And the more that he uses you in, the more he blesses you. You know, the greater responsibility that you have, the more that you are increased. And so we had a couple here for a while, and they were in our church for years and years. They had been with us, and they had been believing for some things with income and finances and business and that sort of thing. And we knew in our heart that their increase financially was connected to the local church. It is for everybody. But we knew for them that there were opportunities for them at the local church. If they would take advantage of those and if they would be a blessing to the body of Christ, God would increase them. And hit pause. Anna, you remember that. Do you know that every area of your life is connected? So when you're believing God, let's say, for something financially, he all of a sudden you might notice on your way to work, God's talking to you about being a bigger blessing to your husband, being a bigger blessing to your wife, giving something to someone in need at the church, being a blessing to your pastor, you know, doing something above and beyond. And you'll think, that's really funny. I wonder why God's talking to me about that. And put it to the side and ignore it. I was trying to talk to him about my finances. Yes, exactly. Every area is connected. And so while you might be talking to him about your finances, he might be wanting you to increase in your marriage because that makes you more spiritually fit and he can get something more over to you financially. You're proving trustworthiness. That's what you're doing. You know, I don't trust by faith. I don't. You have to be proven trustworthy, right? I love you, but you have to prove trustworthiness. With my kids, I love my kids, but they have to prove that they're trustworthy with one thing before I go to the next level and give them something more. You know, if your kids have an animal already and they're not doing a good job taking care of that animal, you'd be a fool to get them another one. Because it's real easy to promise, no, I'll be good at it. I'll take care of it. I'll tend to them. You know, I'll buy the food or I'll clean the cage or I'll walk the dog or whatever it is. But listen, they're going to have to prove it. And if you fail at it with this first little thing, if they can't feed a fish every day, they're not going to walk a dog, you know? And so as a parent, that's kind of a duh. We know that, right? That's very simple, basic information as a parent, but the same thing spiritually. That, you know, we want God to bless us with these big things, to give us these a big house, to give us, you know, a big business, to give us a wonderful marriage, and we're not willing to do the little things. And so we're proving trustworthiness with him. Okay, the family that was here, and they had been here for years. And so we had given them many opportunities to do very little things in the church. It wasn't leading anything. You know, it wasn't that they had to go on worship team, that they had to come real early or anything like that. It was very simple, you know, church stuff. And so we had presented them several times, would you mind volunteering in this area? And they always said no. And you know, eventually they got offended at God, offended at us. They said the word doesn't work and they left. And the whole time, God's trying to get over to them financial increase. How was he doing that? Through service to him. And so if you're talking to God about something and all of a sudden in your heart, in your spirit, he starts instructing you about something else, do that because that's connected. That's the answer to your prayer. And it takes time. You know, have you noticed this? If you ever looked at someone who's a fitness instructor and you go to the class and you're like, oh boy, I'm so far from this. But listen, they were there too. They had a first time they worked out. They had a first week that they worked out. You know, you come to church, you see your pastor up here, and to you, you know, he's spiritually fit and I'll never get there. Yeah, but he had a first day he prayed. He had a first scripture that he memorized in. He had a first time he volunteered in the church. And so it doesn't happen overnight. You have to build that into you. Build fitness into you in every area of life. It's not instantaneous. And so if you're believing God for something and all of a sudden in your heart you just have a witness about something else, do that something else. It's the very answer to the request and the prayer that you're asking him about. And it takes time to learn that, you know, the voice of God. You know, being fit brings clarity. Being fit doesn't just bring strength and endurance and preparedness. It brings clarity to you. And it's amazing that when you're spiritually fit, you have clarity on the voice of God, but physical fitness goes hand in hand with that and increases that. That you have, you know, greater clarity of mind, that you're able to sleep better, and all of those things. You know, Pastor Michael always told us as ministers, that one of the greatest things you can do before you minister is to sleep, take a nap, get rest. I went to bed early last night for you. I got up this morning and prayed for you. Because I'm no good to God unrested. You cannot yield to the voice of God unrested. And that's not just true for a minister. That's true for the whole body of Christ. That if you want to know clearer his voice, that you need to have rest. Amen. Isn't that what we're here to do? We're not here to just come and fill up an attendance policy and say we went to church and, you know, we did what pastor wanted, we did what our parents wanted. No, we're here to fulfill the plan of God. And one of the ways you fulfill the plan of God is that you know better his voice. And so take notice and write down even, I talked, you know, on Wednesdays about a prayer journal, you know, the things that you're believing for, but also the way in which he answered that prayer. Because you'll notice patterns of how he speaks to you. Amen. Okay, I want to share some other things with you. Go over here with me, if you will, to Luke 22. Luke 22. And this is part of being fit spiritually. Being fit spiritually. We want to be valuable to God. We want to be the vessels of gold, right? That when he says something, we do it quick. Amen. Luke 22, 42. And this is what Jesus prayed. And I encourage you to pray this for yourself on a continual basis. Luke 22, 42. Because this will keep a clean heart in you. This is Jesus saying, Father, if it thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And so I pray that all the time. Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Whatever you want me to do, I will do it. It doesn't matter what you say, what you tell me to give, where you tell me to go, who you tell me to talk to. Anything that you say, I will do. And listen, the quicker you obey, the better it is. You know, for my children, it's not an instant thing, but we have to train them that you obey mommy the first time I say it. You know, if you have kids, you know it's frustrating when you tell your kids to do something and they wait until you've said it 3 and 4 times. That as a parent, it's a blessing, and it's a blessing to them. When you say something, you give an instruction that they do it, right? And so our purpose is, Lord, we consecrate and dedicate to you. Whatever you want, whatever you say, that's what I'm going to do. And I want to share one thing with you that the Holy Ghost ministered to me. He said, what you do for God or you don't do for God will affect the eternity of someone. And so when we think about being fit spiritually and, well, I'm going to pray because I want to get my needs met and I want a bigger house and I want a better car and I want newer clothes and I want designer things and all this kind of stuff, our heart isn't right. It's not wrong to want those things. It's wrong to want to pray just to get those things. That we pray, we become spiritually fit because we know that someone's eternity is at stake, right? You don't know who you're going to run into at Wegmans that needs to be invited to church, that needs to know the plan of God, that needs to know about salvation, and that their eternity is forever changed. Or maybe someone that you work with and you know their marriage is struggling and that they need help. The greatest help they can have is the help of the world. You know, I went to natural counseling before when my parents got divorced, and it did nothing. Absolutely nothing. I can't even tell you one thing that they said because it was all a bunch of junk. The best help you can have is the help of the Spirit, anointed help from the Holy Ghost, which comes through your pastor. And so you may know people who are struggling in their body, struggling in their marriage, struggling in their finances, and they need to come here. Let me tell you something. People don't come because you just said words. There needs to be an anointing on the words you say. Anybody, ministers included, I could have gone last night into my room and read the Bible and wrote down a nice little outline and came back here and regurgitated a book report. It doesn't take much to do that. You can know the Bible said, by his stripes we were healed. And there be no power in it. But when you spend time with him and you close up with him and you meditate and you build that in you, remember we talked about spiritual nutrition, and you're putting that in you so that you're strong spiritually, then when you say the word to them, there's a power with it. There's an anointing that speaks to their heart and that moves upon their heart that makes them desire that. The anointing is not for just ministers. The anointing is not just for a ministry line when you come up and you're dealing with something in your body and you need hands laid on you. The anointing is not just to set free. The anointing is to put power upon the words that you say to others in need of the gospel. Amen. So I encourage you, spend time with him until there's something on you that people desire. You know, there are times where maybe, you know, someone in the church would, you know, maybe like to be around him or spend time with him. And he's a wonderful person naturally, but it's the anointing they're drawn to. It's the anointing on his life. And so the same thing there, you know, have people ever told you that they don't know why, they just want to be around you? You know, someone that was close with my family, they said to Tim and I just always want to be with you guys. And when I'm with you, I feel like everything's okay. Well, that's just the anointing. And you can have that for yourself right at home. You need us in the sense that you need a pastor. But listen, there's an anointing for you too. It's available for you too. And you can determine how much or how little of it you have. And so if you feel like you've been ministering to someone, you've been talking to them about the word, you've been talking to them about the plan of God, you've been trying to encourage them to in their relationship with him, get closer with him, and you're not making any progress, I just encourage you, take some time, spend with the Lord, get with him in prayer, ask him what scriptures that need to be said, and then go back to them when you have that. When you have that anointing, when you have the exact scripture that they need, he'll tell you things you did not know. You know, there have been times where the Holy Ghost would have me pray for people that I didn't know, but that regularly would cross my path. You know, people maybe that work at a place where I shop or go to the school where my kids go, and he would put upon my heart to pray for them and in certain areas and specific things, and he may or may not tell you, but you don't have to know them personally to make a difference. You know, remember at the beginning of the year, Tim was talking about how we should have people on our heart that we're praying for, that we're confessing things for them, that we're wanting them to come into church, inviting them into church, and write down those people that you're believing for to come. You know, the people that I'm believing for to come and that I'm praying for, I don't even really know them very well. Two of them are cashiers at Wegmans, and another one is like someone that I see there. And so I just know their names. And I continually confess the word for them and pray for them. But naturally, I don't really know them. And I was just led that way. And so you don't have to know someone to minister the word to them, to minister God's goodness to them. The goodness of God leads people to repentance. Amen. So just be good to people. Don't Bible thump them and you're not doing right and you should do this. And that doesn't minister to anybody. Just be good. Amen. And I want to share this other thing with you. Go with me over here to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Listen, you know, one thing, you can go to Romans chapter 8, verse 26. One thing that is helpful when you're getting spiritually and physically fit together is that you can't always see spiritual fitness, right? But as you're getting physically fit, you can tell a difference over time. You know, whether it's in strength, endurance, you can do new things that you couldn't do before and all that kind of stuff. And so while it's encouraging to you that you're doing one and the other together, that you'll know that as you're getting physically fit, you're getting spiritually fit as well, even though you may not be able to feel it. Even though it may take some time for those results to show up. And so Brother Hagin said this along those lines, if you don't keep your flesh under, the devil will dominate you. If you do not keep your flesh under, the devil will dominate you. And here is the big benefit in having physical fitness. It's a practice for spiritual fitness. That when you tell your flesh no, it's real easy to tell the devil no. If you never tell your flesh no, you can't really run off the devil. because there's no strength in you to do that. If you permit things physically, you'll permit it spiritually. If you'll be lazy physically, you'll be lazy spiritually. So all these things parallel one another. Again, Brother Hagin said, if you don't keep your flesh under, the devil will dominate you. Because all the desires of the flesh are ungodly. None of them point toward godliness. Overeating doesn't, wrong relationships in the flesh don't, anything in the flesh is not a godly thing. So we've got to keep that under. And you can practice that in very simple ways. You know, well, I used to load my plate with food. Now I'm going to make sure it all fits on the plate. And then I'm going to make sure it all fits on the plate without touching. And then I'm going to eat till I'm satisfied, not till I'm full. And so take baby steps. You know, I used to eat dessert at every meal. And now I'm only eating dessert at every other meal. And then I'm only eating dessert twice a week. And then I'm only eating dessert once a week until you're physically fit. But don't just go out and do something and start, you know. And my husband is like this, and I love it about him. He gets something in his mind that he's going to do, and he's going to do it like 110%. So when he first started where he was going to work out and exercise and all that stuff, he goes gung-ho the first day. And then he, like, waddles back to the house, and he can't move for a while. I suggest not doing that. I suggest that you start with something doable and build toward your goal, right? So with the plate illustration, you know, if normally all the stuff is kind of spilling off your plate, learn to keep it on the plate a little. Then have some food on your plate where the stuff isn't touching, but you can still keep it all on there, because a lot of times we eat way more than we need. And so these spiritual things, if we'll realize in the natural, building things naturally will help us spiritually. When we have good natural habits, it helps us. It carries over into good spiritual habits, okay? So tell your flesh no so you can tell the devil no. Amen? We have to get good at saying no, right? Okay, go with me here to Romans chapter 8, verse 26. This is part of being spiritually fit. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit, it should say himself, makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Verse 27. And he that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And so, you know, when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you don't know what you're praying. Many times you have no idea what spiritual words are being said unless it's revealed to you. There was one time Tim, I think, had me share it when we were praying in the Holy Ghost here, and I was like saying words I didn't know, but I was going like this, and the Holy Ghost revealed to me that I was counting something in the realm of the Spirit. And so unless he tells you, you don't know, right? But we're praying in the Holy Ghost because we don't know. You know, mostly for Erie, I pray in the Holy Ghost because I don't know all that needs to be lined up and arranged and rearranged and changed and all the people that need to be involved and all that kind of thing. And so when we're praying about something, it helps to pray in the Holy Ghost because all of the plan of God for us is already in us. It's already in our spirit. And our job as we pray in the Holy Ghost is to bring that out piece by piece. You know, putting a puzzle together. Tim does not like putting puzzles together, but I enjoy it. The kids and I do it together. And so, you know, you do it one piece at a time, and you take a piece, and it looks like it fits somewhere, and you kind of turn it around, and it almost fits, but not quite. And so you do that until every piece is put in place, and it has a whole picture. And the same thing is true with our lives, that God has a full plan for us. It's already in his spirit, which is in our spirit, and the mind of the Holy Ghost knows that, and as we pray, we bring out from the inside that next step, that next picture, and you might not know it all at once. And so if you're wondering, Lord, it kind of seems like I'm at a standstill. It kind of seems like things haven't moved. It kind of seems like I've been believing for something, and there's just nothing happening. I encourage you, spend extra time praying in the Holy Ghost that he'll reveal to you that next piece, that piece you didn't see. Because then once, you know, when you're doing a puzzle and all of a sudden you find the piece, you're like, yeah, that's the one that fits. And you know when it's a right fit. And so when you're praying in the Holy Ghost, you'll bring those things out, that next step, that next investment, that next thing that you're to do in your marriage. You know, I continually believe God for my marriage every single day. I confess the word regarding my marriage. I pray regarding my marriage. Lord, help me to be a better blessing. Help me to be a bigger blessing. What can I do, Lord Jesus, that would minister to him in a greater measure? You know, and so, and it's not all real spiritual. He's told me to do his laundry, put his laundry away, clean his closet. Those, you know, things that I do for him on a regular basis. And so you think, well, how is this helping spiritually? Because it was what the Holy Ghost instructed. That's why. Now, I don't know what ministers to your spouse, but the Holy Ghost knows what ministers to your spouse. You know, one thing at our house, when we take out the garbage, you know, we have in our garage big black garbage bins. And so, you know, I tend to go out there and just slam it all in there, cardboard, doesn't matter what it is, I just slam it in there. And Tim said, why do you do that? Because he's the one who takes down the garbage. Could you just leave the cardboard on top of the big black bin? And so I don't know why that's a big deal to me. Who cares? But to him, it matters. And so on purpose, and I have to remember, do not do that because it irks him. Even stopping to do something that annoys your spouse, you could be a blessing that way. And so I don't know what that is. The Holy Ghost knows. And so as you believe God for your marriage, as you pray for your marriage, it may not be this big, huge revelation that you think. It might be a small chore you can do for him. Could you keep something in order for him? Or the other way around. You know, is there a small present, a token of your love that you could bless your wife with that's within your budget, you know that she wants, and she's been talking about it? Could you just go to the store and get it and surprise her with it? How hard would that be? You know, but I don't know. Ask the Holy Ghost. He'll tell you. And so as you go and you spend time with him, you'll draw out of your spirit the things that are needful for your life, and you'll be putting it together piece by piece with the help of the Holy Ghost. Aren't you thankful you don't have to do it alone? You don't have to. Matter of fact, you're not meant to. If you're trying to do it alone, you're doing it wrong. Right? That we should be continually asking the Holy Ghost, am I in the right place? Am I doing the right thing? Am I at the right station in life? You know, am I being a blessing to my family like I should? Am I being a blessing to my church like I should? That we should be easily corrected, easily instructed. Amen. And that will keep us physically fit. That will keep us spiritually fit. Amen. And just remember, those two things go hand in hand, right? That we're putting our flesh under as a practice to keep your spirit under. Because all of life is what's in your habits. And your habits are tied in to what you said no to and what you said yes to. So just get practiced at telling your flesh no. It's a good spiritual habit. And have you ever done this? You know, have you ever gone home from like a special meeting and you feel so spiritual and, you know, the anointing was flowing in the service and you were instructed in the word, and then you go home and you eat pizza or you eat some kind of junk, you know, and then you wake up in the night or you wake up the next morning and you're real logy and you're real like sluggish and you just don't feel 100%. And then it kind of makes you tired, and so then the next day it rolls into being spiritual lazy because your body feels spiritual lazy. When you have strength spiritually, or excuse me, physically, you feel ready spiritually, that you feel refreshed enough to be able to go in and spend time in prayer. Amen? That we want to be alert when we go into prayer. We don't want to be half asleep, and that's part of the benefit of being physically fit, is that you're alert when you go into prayer. You're awake and ready to listen to God, not falling asleep and barely, you know, staying awake. Amen. And so I encourage you, start today. Pick something that's doable and then build that habit and then go to the next level and go to the next level and go to the next level until all of a sudden one day I have strength I did not have before. I have an ability to run my race harder and longer. I have an ability to be a greater blessing to people where I didn't before. All of a sudden, you have strength and clarity that you never had before. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we worship you.